Nice. You just have to kind of know how I operate. If anything, I'll err on the side of caution. Because if you try to put something on, there's not going to be anything there, and there'll be no fruit from it. And so when I call those things out, I know that I've heard from heaven. And, you know, when God does that, it's not to embarrass people or to put people on a spot. That's your manifestation of what you've been believing for. And it's important that you recognize, because some people think, well, it's out of faith to come up and, you know, I've been confessing it and believing for it. Well, that's your answer when it gets called out like that. That's your answer. And so just appreciate people obeying that and having right thinking about it. Amen? God wants to do some things in our midst, but He needs our cooperation. So praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 15. Praise the Lord. And I hope that you're all crying out like I am about God to move in this place, that He would rain down His Spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15. And let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for what You've just done. Father, we thank You that You love us and care about us so much. Father, I didn't have any of that planned. Lord, that was a surprise just as much to me as it was to anybody else in here. It wasn't a surprise to You. But Father, we always want You to know that You can have Your way in this place, that not only are we going to be a word church, Father, but we're going to be a church that will flow with the Holy Ghost. We will not kick Him out of the services. We'll let Him have His way. For He's the Lord of the harvest. We know He knows what we need and when we need it. So we praise You and bless You for what You've done. Now, Father, another way the Spirit moves is through the teaching of the Word. So, Father, we ask for utterance this morning and that the Word would be spoke with boldness. And what we need to hear, we'll hear it. And, Father, we'll give You all the praise for it. We thank You for bullseyes being hit in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Matthew 15 and verse 21. Now, I haven't really done this much, but I'm going to just follow the Holy Ghost. And if you write, you know, you can write these down. Maybe it's not, if you can flip fast in your Bible, that'd be the way to go. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I got a lot of verses to get out in the beginning. And we will have Heather put those up on the screen so you can follow along that way. But it is important to write these down or go back on live stream and to note them. Because I guess if we're coming to church, we might as well read the Bible. And so I'm going to read down through some things. But I want you to kind of be aware of the common thread that is in all these verses, because I'm doing this to get a point across to people as we go forward today. It says Matthew 15, 21, and I'll read sort of fast as well. So Heather, just kind of switch verses as I go. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread, cast it to the dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. Do you see that?
Yes.
Now go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 24, or verse 25, I'm sorry. Mark 5 and verse 25. It says, A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto Him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before Him, and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. Go to Mark chapter 10, just a few pages over probably in your Bible. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will that I should do unto you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Do you see that? Your faith has made you whole. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 says, Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. I guess if we're coming to church, you might as well read the Bible. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. Now for time's sake, let me tell you where we're at up to the verse 16. This is when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And there was a lame man that had been lame from his mother's womb that laid at the gate daily begging. He tried to beg for them. They said, We don't have any money on us at this time, but what I do have you, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. The gentleman who had not walked his whole life got up, walked, went away leaping and praising God. And look what it says in verse 16. Because they said, how did this happen? How is this possible? Well, verse 16 tells us. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. The man's faith in the name of Jesus, God is healing, right? Go to me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Again, just you can look on there. I just want to focus on the end of that verse. Romans 1 and 17 says, The just shall live by faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians, Heather, I'm sorry. Maybe I said first. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. As it's getting put up there, it basically says that we walk by faith. The just shall live. We walk by faith. And not by sight. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. As she's putting up, I'll just read it. It says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith. Yeah. But faith. That's what matters now. But faith. Praise God. That's Galatians 5 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. We have just a couple more. Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with that shield of faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The end of that verse says, But without faith it is impossible. Impossible to please God. Lack of faith, impossible to please God. James chapter 1 and verse 6. Praise God. It's all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. James chapter 1 and verse 6 says, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So you could say it this way, that wavering and faith are opposite. Yes. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, or you could say it this way, for he that's not in faith, because wavering and faith are opposite. For he that is not in faith is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. Verse 7, let not that man think that he shall receive anything. The one that's out of faith, the Bible said, do not let them think that they shall receive anything from God. 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your victory for overcoming what the world can throw at you is the answer to it is always faith. I think that's enough for today and those verses going that way. But those verses and those stories, the common thread in all of them was people received what they got, or people are going to get, what they want in life, solely based on their faith. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't say, thank you, lucky stars, that I'm here today. He didn't say, you should be so happy that this town was on my itinerary. That's not what he said. He said, daughter, your faith did it. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus would have kept right on walking by. Blind Bartimaeus got his attention, and Jesus did say, Oh, you're lucky, I'm in a good mood today. No, he said, Your faith has made you whole. Yeah. The woman with the daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil, Jesus said, Your faith got her whole. The Bible says you won't receive anything without faith. You won't have victory. You won't please God without faith. You won't have the shield of faith which will quench the fiery darts of the wicked one without faith. Amen. Faith is vital. I find it so interesting that God points to your answer as being faith. And it's the same thing, you know, without going into details, you've heard it enough, I'm sure. Doesn't mean I'm not going to tell it again. But when I started the church and we were in abject poverty, you know, when you're $2,000 short from paying your bills every month, that's poverty. That's poverty. That's not blessing and prosperity. And when I was told no to a salary and I was told no by the Holy Ghost to getting an extra job, told to stay home with Caleb full time and then do the church stuff when she gets home to take Caleb. And it's interesting when my pastor said no, he said, you know what's going to save you in this situation? And I thought, God? No, your faith is going to. You're either going to sink or swim based on what you do and how you respond with your faith. He said, this is good for you. He said, if I give you a salary, it'll ruin you. He said, you'll be a preacher like most preachers are. They're up there echoing someone else's blessing. They're up there echoing somebody else's revelation. He says, you're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to walk through it. And you're going to have to see faith work for yourself. I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful. So thankful that he denied me. So thankful that the Holy Ghost didn't let me go out and try to do things on my own. Because I learned that faith is the answer, and I learned that faith always works. Praise God. And it's interesting that the Bible points to people using their faith. And you know, faith is such an unpopular message. It's challenged not even from the outside, but it's challenged from within. People get annoyed at the faith message. They say, you're talking about faith too much. All we ever, and they don't understand what they're receiving. And it's challenged because it's the devil's fearful of the subject of faith. But notice God said the only reason that woman got her healing that day was because of her faith. The only reason that woman's daughter was delivered was because of her faith. Blind Bartimaeus, the only reason you're seeing anymore is because you were able to believe. Praise God. Amen. And that, you know, and we'll talk about this at the end, that most people, I don't think, realize the importance. And that's why I went and rattled off verse and story and verse after verse to show you how important and the spotlight that God has shown on the subject of faith and how vital it is for the Christian to understand that has to be their lifestyle. And I know that it's not, because when people face things, they immediately get into another arena that's not faith. How do I know? You can see it on their face. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear it in their words, their actions, the way they walk, the way they go about. You can tell the arena they're in is not a faith arena. And the problem with that is the Bible clearly tells us, don't expect things to change until you get into this thing called faith. And I know that that's not popular to tell people, because it puts the responsibility squarely on us. But for too many years, the body of Christ has been defeated and gone without because they've been spoon-fed this religious idea that what will be, that if God shines His happy face on you today, then you walked into blessing. No, ladies and gentlemen, what you get in life is up to you. Absolutely. Now, don't get offended when I say that. If you don't like how your life is, you do something about it. Blind Bartimaeus did not like what his life was like. The woman with the issue of blood did not like how her 12 years had gone. The woman that daughter was grievously vexed with all did not enjoy that situation. So you know what they did? They changed it. They said, I've had enough. And faith was the only answer that changed that thing. So what situations are you facing in your life that you want change? Stop complaining about them. Stop griping about them. Stop, oh me, woe is me about them. And do something about it. God has given you something so precious, so wonderful to use. Now here's the awesome thing, is that anybody can do this. The pastor is not exalted in a place with God above the sheep. Billy Graham is not exalted in a place above us. Kenneth Hagin is not exalted. We can have as much or as little as we want. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, how your life turns out has more to do with you than it does with God. Jesus, if that woman with the issue of blood would have said, this is too hard, I can't get there, there's too many people, and she'd have gone home, Jesus was not running and chasing after her. We have it all backwards. When people walk away from the things of God, you know, I believe it's because we're compassionate. We go after them, just drag them, we'll do anything we can. Jesus was not like that.
He said to the disciples, if they don't receive this message, if this message isn't good enough, wipe the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Oh yeah. You know, people have to understand, and you have to get this, because if you don't understand this, you'll have a very easy time to be offended at your pastor. I love meeting with people. I love it. I love being with the sheep. A true shepherd loves to be with the sheep. But the main thing that a shepherd's called to do is to pray for you and to preach and teach the Word of God. That's to take up the majority of my time. And see, a lot of times people have devalued the me showing up here on a Wednesday and a Sunday, early on Saturday and Tuesdays. They've devalued that. I had someone recently tell me, not from this church, tell me that, I said, don't be offended if I don't come around. You know, they got mad. I tried to help them. Don't be offended when I don't come around, because I don't want to upset you. Said, why would we be offended? You've never been around anyways. I said, and I thought to myself, the hour drive to Olean every Saturday for 2 years to give you the word, waking up in the middle of the night and praying for your family that you'll know nothing about. See, that wasn't important enough to people. And so you have to understand the word delivered, praise God, is so vital. Now don't take that as, oh, my pastor hates being with people. No, I love it. I wish there was 30 of me. And then you just clone me. Now some of you are thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, don't do that. We don't need anything like that kind of debacle happening. I know some of you thought that. Just keep those thoughts to yourself. I'll just vocalize them. But it's so clear that the Bible says if you want something different, change it. It rests, and to say, well, I can't, is to say that the word's not true and the devil's too strong. That's just not the truth. It's not the truth. You don't like how your situation is, do something about it. Praise God. Pull your bootstraps up, right? Get angry. Draw a line in the sand. Say no more. Praise God. Go with me to Romans 12 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 3. You know, when people get offended and start yelling at you, you know, sometimes I might not have the most clear way of saying things, but if people will let me explain, I can come back around. I'm just not very eloquent of a speaker. See what I mean? I do not talk. And stutter and fumble over my words at times. See, if you understand, like God, like when Jesus... now this is when the prophetic office comes out in the message and starts hitting little things, just to teach you and to be aware. When little rabbit trails happen, it's not because Pastor Mike's trying to fill the time. It's because utterance has come up from my heart that I need to get out there. But when Jesus called the woman a dog, and Jesus called the Syrophoenician woman, he ignored her and said, it's not right for me to give you what I have. Now, when you know that Jesus is wonderful and good, and you already have that settled in your heart, you know that what you thought you heard or what you are interpreting, you know it can't be bad. And I've had people through boldness and telling them things, accuse me of things that say, well, that's, how can you say, you're saying I'm the reason I'm, no, I never said that. Let me explain, but they go off, I've had people go off the handle and absolutely just ream me a new one on the phone, can't get another word in, all I hear is end up hearing click. Well, see, they didn't have it established in their heart that their pastor was for them.
Yeah, that's right.
If you have any doubt that I'm for you and that I'm on your side, you need a new pastor.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't think that your pastor's in the foxhole with you and will do anything he can, it's going to be hard to receive from me.
Yeah.
And I've had people, because they're going through tough times and it hurts, and but the truth will get them out of that thing. If somebody's unfaithfulness is hindering, now here's the thing: you don't have the power to make sickness. You don't have the power to make poverty. You don't. The devil is behind all those things, but we sure can help him, and we sure can aid in a bet in that, right? And give him help. And the truth, you have to tell people what the truth is to get it out. When people are going through, they struggle, and I'm telling you, people get offended, and they did it to Moses.
Yeah.
They did it to Moses. He delivered them through something. Every day, I'm a hero and a zero to somebody.
Yeah.
Every single day, I'm a villain to somebody and a hero. I mean, I'm telling you, I get reamed out one day, and I get a text message from somebody else telling me how wonderful I am. I'm like, well, which one is it? I'm confused about my own self. Am I awful or am I great? And so, Brother Hagin, he just said this. He'd say, he was dead to it all.
He was dead to the praise and he was dead to the criticism, because every day it's changing. But you got to establish in your heart that when there's correction that's given or help that's given, I know it has nothing to do with today's message, but it needs to be said, that your pastor's coming from a place of love and not accusing you of anything. Hallelujah. If people would have that, they'd take it. See, that woman knew Jesus is good. He's not trying to be mean to me. He's not trying to hurt me. Praise God. Romans 12 and verse 3. Thank you for praying for utterance, because we're getting it. We're getting it. Romans 12 and verse 3. He says, "For I say, though, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Notice this. "According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Well, guess what? Brother Hagin's every man. Mike Anderson's every man. You and me in the congregation are every man. You line up for this. You qualified for God to deal with you. When you got born again, God gave you a measure of faith. Well, what is that faith able to do? Move mountains, right? Turn sickness around, turn poverty around, all those things that we read about earlier. That's what faith has the opportunity and the potential to do. Now, God said he's given you a measure. Now, what you do with your measure, that's up to you. But God has, in his mercy, given us faith. Now, but this is what I want you to see. This will help you understand going forward in life what faith is. Faith is like God going to his checkbook and ripping out a check, putting your name in the pay to the order of, and then leaving the amount blank, handing it to you and say, "Now fill it in." That's when God said, "Here's the measure of faith." God is saying, "Here is a blank check. What do you need? Fill in the amount." You need a spouse? You want a godly spouse? Fill it in and use your faith. You need healing? Fill it in. Use your faith. You need some financial change? You need a different job? You need a house? You need a vehicle? You need clothes? You need food? Fill it in. God is saying, "Here you go." You say, "I don't know if I can buy that." Well, go with me real quick. This will help you. To Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. When you realize that faith is a blank check, you know, if somebody gives you a blank check, tells you to fill it in, and you put down there a dollar, don't blame that person. Mark chapter 9, look at how faith is a blank check, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe," isn't faith and belief the same word? They are, it's just interchangeable. "If you can have faith," notice this, "all things." Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Every single thing that everybody in here is going through that you want changed fits into this category. Amen. It's an all thing, right? Yes. A sickness, a problem with your kids, a problem with your family, a problem with your job, relationships, whatever fits into this category. This verse blankets everything. That's good news, by the way. I'm telling you that you're not exempt, that your problems are changeable, but look how they're changeable. If you can believe, all things are possible to him, not to anybody else, to him that believes. The Bible says all things are possible. The blank check, God has handed it to you. He says, "What do you need? Fill it in." You fill it in. I'm not going to fill it in. You fill it in. Jesus didn't say all things are possible if I can believe it, if God can believe it. He said if you can believe it, everything can be taken care of. All things are possible. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Fill in the blank on there and put it in there. And write yourself. I love, I don't know if he mentioned this in this service. I haven't heard it in a long time. But Brother Hagin has a series called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. People don't understand that it's how you're, God will let you be poor. As much as he loves you and cares about you, if you desire to be out of faith concerning finances and do things your own way, he'll let you do it. And you'll still go to heaven, and you'll still be with God and still rejoice in the streets of gold. If you want to be sick and you don't want to believe the Bible, and you don't want to be in faith, and you don't want to walk in love, he'll let you do it. But if you want to be healed, if you want to have a godly spouse, if you want blessings to flow in your life, just fill it in. All things are possible to him that believes. So it's not on him, praise God. And here's the thing, if I give you a blank check from my checkbook and I say, "Here you go, fill in the blank." Well,
The thing that you're going to have to know before you go and spend that or cash that, if I gave you a debit card and said, here you go, use it, whatever you want, you're going to have to know what's in the account.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A blank check means nothing if the person has no money. Right? If the person doesn't have the funds. A blank check from me and a blank check from Donald Trump bring about very different responses.
Yeah.
Right? They do, yeah, praise the Lord. But here's what you have to know about when it comes to what's backing our faith. God is the guarantor.
Amen.
Of that check.
Yes.
God's resources are the ones backing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that should make you excited. But here's what you have to know about knowing what's in the account. The only example that I can think about that really brings it to light. You know, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, what? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, when knowledge isn't there, there's no confidence. Because, do you know, faith, everything, well, you know, the chicken and the egg is the one thing we're not sure of, right? We'll find out when we get to heaven. We'll find out. Lord, what'd you do first, the chicken or the egg? Praise the Lord. But we all here were birthed by something. Someone, right? All the animals we see, they were birthed by something. Well, faith didn't just appear on its own. Faith was given birth by something too, and it's called knowledge. Knowledge gives birth to faith. Without knowledge, there is no faith. Because, and this is the example that I can think of, that's why God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because when they don't know, they can't believe for something. If I came up to a finance, now I want you to think about at transaction time. What's transaction time spiritually? It's when you are sick, you are broke, you need something changed, and you release your faith. That's transaction time. That's when you release your faith, you go to the register to purchase what you need by using your faith.
Amen.
Now think about transaction time. If I came up and I needed $1,000 by tomorrow, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I need $1,000 tomorrow. It's just unnegotiable. It has to happen. Let's say I don't have that available to me. Well, think about transaction time, because if I don't have it, it means I have to ask for it. I want you to think about confidence levels at transaction time of these two different things that I'm going to tell you about. All of a sudden, I come up, I need $1,000 by tomorrow. And I live in Lakewood, and I hear this. So I go down to the mall, or go down to downtown Lakewood where people are walking around, where it's busy. And I start going and asking every stranger that I see for $1,000. How much confidence am I going to have at that time when I go up to somebody that doesn't know me, I don't know them, I don't know what resources they have, and I say, can I have $1,000? Do you know what my confidence level is going to be like? I mean, if there's going to be any at all, it's going to be minuscule.
Right.
But if I come up to a need of $1,000, and I hit mom on my cell phone, hit dad, or I hit my in-laws on my cell phone, do you know how much my confidence level shoots through the roof? And you know the only reason it does is because I have knowledge.
Right.
I know what they have. I know what their willingness is. I know how they feel about me. It's the same exact thing. When people go to the time to release their faith, it's not enough to know, well, Pastor Mike got healed. Well, Pastor Mike had financial breakthrough. Well, Pastor Mike's living in the blessing. And because of that, that's why. No, that's not enough. Because that's not true faith. Just like when you go to cash out with somebody's debit card, if you don't know what they have in the account, you're going to be a little weary when they run that card. Or you're going to be wondering, is that check going to bounce? Because I never did ask them how much I could spend. And you have a cart full of stuff. But how much more confident are you when you know there's $10,000 in that account and I only got $7,000 worth of stuff. This transaction is going to be just fine. It's the same with people. They go to release their faith for healing. They go to release their faith for finances. They go to release their faith for their children or anything, their job. And they don't have a clue what's in the account. And because they don't have a clue, they have no confidence with what to leap from. Because the only thing you can be guaranteed of is what he said you can have.
Yeah. Amen.
Which is a whole lot, by the way, and it's wonderful. It's heaven on earth.
Yeah.
You know, heaven on earth is God's lifestyle for you.
Yeah,
if you're wondering what lifestyle you should practice on earth, it's heaven on earth.
Yeah.
And if you look around your life, you say, you know, If this is what heaven's like, I think I'll pass. I'm being serious. If that's what your life is, you look around your life and you say, if this is what heaven is like, I don't want to go there, then something is not right in your receiving. Because that's the realm that God has for you. If it's wearing you out, life is just kicking your butt all the time, and stress, and you just rather not deal with it, and you can't stand to wake up, that's not heaven on earth. That's God's lifestyle for you, right? Well, faith can change that. Faith can change that. So we need to know, praise God, what's in the bank. Well, God's our guarantor. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. He's not the God that's withholding from you. We have to get that out of our minds. He's not the God that's just making you wait just a little longer. No! I get tired. Well, it's just in God's timing. Well, God's timing would speed up a whole lot if you get into faith. Now, I understand there's seasons and times of blessing that God has for you, but a lot of times people chalk up their doubt and unbelief to God's mysterious, and He's just got His timing. Well, yeah, the timing's going to keep being longer and longer the way you talk, the way you grumble and moan and groan and complain. Hallelujah. Romans 10 and verse 17. We're almost done. This will be a quick one today. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then, faith, that mountain-moving ability, that sickness-driving out force, that prosperity-bringing thing, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, the more you hear, the more knowledge you have, the more confidence you have to jump and to make that transaction. And then when you have more confidence on it, when day one goes by and no manifestation, you're still in faith. When day 10 goes by, when month 10 goes by, and you're still in it, don't matter. You had faith. Praise God. You know that it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Let me just help with this one. This is a good time frame one. There's a lady I've been helping. Again, doesn't go to this church, so don't be thinking about it. But been helping really for years now. And has been getting help for years. And I talked to her, and she's believing God for a godly man. And she's been believing, oh man, I don't know. It's been a long, long time. And I say, you know, faith, what faith would do, would say, see, because when you get the right one, the wait was worth it. When the right one comes, it was worth the wait, praise God. And I say, just every time it seems like it's not working for you, I tell her, every time it seems like it's not, just remember, He's just not ready for you yet. Praise God. He hasn't been on the grill of life to be seasoned long enough for someone as wonderful as you. See, that's the way faith would look at things. See, my new perspective is, when I didn't get my bear this past spring, the bear that I'm going to get just needed another year to fatten up. He just needed another year to look a little bigger in the corner of the room that I have him all set aside for his full body mount. The buck that I didn't get, his antlers just needed a couple more years of growing, because he's going to be a lot more fun to hold him out here than he is in here. Praise God. That's what faith would do. That's what faith would do. Faith would take the job that you can't stand and say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be faithful because I know a better one's coming. I'm going to prove to you that I can be so faithful and do so good in a job that I can't stand. So then when you give me one, you can know I can be trusted in it. That's what faith would do, praise the Lord. And when you have knowledge about God's Word, you're able to do those kind of things because you know He's not a liar and He doesn't change. Praise God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But this is what I wanted to share with you today, and I'll close with this. One of two things needs to happen in your life. Either you need to get more faith for faith, number one, or you need to get more faith for your problem. Let me explain what I mean by number one. If your automatic response, if you aren't sold out to the idea that the first thing you need to do when trouble and trial comes your way is to jump into the faith arena. If you think your first thing to do is to call a million people to start a bawling and a squalling to God, to start a pacing the floor in panic and anxiety, you need faith for faith. You need to know that you know that you know that the only arena acceptable that I need to move into ASAP is faith. And if that's not what you do, and if that is not your response, you need faith for faith. How are you going to get faith for faith? You're going to take all those verses that I told you in the beginning. You're going to go home and you're going to meditate on them till they burn inside of you. Till you know that no longer is a down face my response. No longer is complaining aloud when things go wrong. No longer is getting on the phone and telling everybody about my problems. Jesus did not say talk about the mountain or magnify the mountain. Now where's my soapbox? Because I'm about to jump right up on it and let you have it now. Are you ready? Praise God. You don't know how many people have gotten on me and criticized me. We don't have this group in the church, and we don't do this thing in the community. Listen, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, about, well, we need a group for the alcoholics. We need a group for the drug. See, all those groups want to do is get around and gather around the problem. Because the word was never enough to people. So we want to have all these extra things. And it's usually the people that I can't even get to come on a Sunday morning that are telling me we need this. I say, you think I'm going to have something special for you? And you can't even come to hear the word? Why do people want to talk about their problem and their past and all? Let it go. Let it go. The Bible says, in Philippians 3, it says this, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward, pressing forward. Yet so many people are stuck in the past. I know people that just continually want to talk to me about what happened 10 years ago. And I keep saying, I'm sorry that happened to you. I know, but that's not going to help you. Go forward. You say, that's harsh. No, the Bible says after he tells you to forget those things, he said, and as many of you that have a mature mind, you think this way. Go look it up. He says the mature Christian will leave the past in the past and go forward. And people constantly want to bring it up to me. What happened? You can't go two directions at once. You're either going forward or backwards. Amen is right. Praise God. But people want to gather around the problem and talk about the problem. No, let's talk about the solution. And the first thing that people will do, because it feels good in our flesh, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good to complain? Doesn't it feel good to let everybody know our problems? Because we want sympathy. We want compassion. But the problem is, some of those people you're calling, they're feeding you the wrong thing. Oh, I can't believe that did that to you. I can't believe that happened to you. And how is this going to change? And oh my gosh, you poor thing. That is not what you need to hear. Now you call me, and I'll pet you. But the whole time I'm petting you, I'm going to tell you your answer. And I'm going to tell you, I'm opening a crown. I'm not going to fix this. Oh, you need to start confessing the word. Oh, we need to start rejoicing. We need to start a shouting. I'm so careful on who I tell my problems to. I was walking this morning, and I started just weeping. I was glad I was in a part of the place that was early enough for people weren't going to see, because I don't mean people talking about the weirdo that walks his dogs by their house. And for 5 years, nobody will know the price that had to be paid to get this thing going. And the attacks that me and my family have had to have personally, because I never talk about them. Now I'll talk about them, and a lot of them will get victories on them. But just absolute assaults that I'm just ready to come out of some of these things. That to the point where your mind gets to be like, is it worth it? Now I know it is in my spirit, but your mind thinks, is this really worth it anymore to have my kids subject to some of the things that they have to go through and my family? Because all you see is the smile all the time and the rejoicing and the faith. But to get this going, see, when Jesus was born, the devil went after the babies. Because he wanted to just wipe them out. And see, when there's a new church being birthed, the devil will unleash hell on that place. Because he wants to kill the baby. Because if he can kill the baby, he can kill the heritage and just get the genes destroyed and everything. And I was thinking, you know, my response when these things happen, I know that I know. I've learned enough. I've learned something finally in life that faith is the only thing that will ever pull you out of things. And I'm very, very careful who I'll share anything with. Because I can't... Jesus said, be careful, ears, what you hear. They're your faith gates. And if you're constantly around doubt and unbelief, and you're constantly around fear and worry and anxiety, and people telling you it's not going to... That's what's going to manifest in your life, because faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
So you need to be careful who you're hearing from.
Yeah.
Aren't we glad for utterance this morning?
Amen.
Aren't we glad for utterance? Now let me say this to go along with this 5 years of challenge. It's been worth every bit of it. God always repays. God always makes it up, and I wouldn't change anything for it. I'm just saying, to pave the road to get the thing going, the devil has been after it, but he loses, right? We're just going to keep plugging along. Glory to God. Ministry is the greatest thing in the world. The grace and stuff that's there and the blessings. Praise God. So don't take that as complaining, but I'm just saying my first response when hell's unleashed is not to call everybody. It's not to make it known. It's not to talk about it and talk about it. I need to talk about my solution. I need to go to people that are going to pump me up and fire me up. I don't need to go to somebody that's going to be a downer to me and tell me, how are you going to do this? And, oh, that's not going to happen, and that's not going to change, and I can't believe that happened to you, and, oh, you poor thing. I don't need to hear that.
Right.
It does feel good on the flesh to grumble.
Sure.
It does feel good on the flesh to complain, but the problem is the devil makes it feel good because it doesn't do a good thing for you.
Right.
Now, again, I'll help you, and I'll be compassionate and love you, but I'm also going to give you the right answer.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So you either need faith for faith. If your first response isn't that, you need to go back to all those verses, get it so burned in your spirit, so when you know my first reaction has to be into the arena that's going to start the process of change. If you're already there, well, then maybe you need faith for your problem.
Yeah.
Amen? What do I mean? You got to know that you know that you know that when you release your faith, whether it's for a spouse, whether it's for money, whether it's for healing, whether it's for a job, whether it's for a house, whether it's for a car, whether it's for clothes, whether it's for your kids, that when you spoke it, it is coming to pass. It is done. It is finished. And if you're not at that place, that's an indicator that you know faith is your arena, but you don't have enough faith for your problem.
That's good.
Amen?
Amen.
And I'll close with this just to kind of give you a little bit of a story behind that. Years ago, I went through something that was dominating me, that was not heaven on earth. To the point where I was in such condemnation and depression that I started having thoughts like constantly like I used to have in high school. Non-stop thoughts of taking my life and non-stop thoughts of not being here and how much better it would be and that my life has no purpose. I mean, just wrong things that weren't of God. And I finally said, you know, this is not heaven on earth. This is not abundant life. This is not a fun way to live. I said, I know the only thing that's going to change this is faith, but I don't have, you know, it's okay to admit when you don't have faith for something. It's actually wisdom, right?
Yeah.
I told you about the lady that threw away her anxiety medication. She got a hold of the faith message. Said, I don't need the medicine anymore. Threw it away. Her face wasn't there to carry her yet.
Right.
And she spiraled out of control. Had one of the worst panic attacks ever. She said, oh, I guess I do need my medicine. Well, she got in faith, got back into faith, took her medicine, but every time she took the medicine, she took it in faith, said, Lord, someday I won't have to be on. And then she was free, and then she went off and had no problems. See, a good indicator of whether or not you're okay is, what's the fruit of this thing? Is my life spiraling out of control after I did something I should have done naturally? Absolutely. Yeah, and I admit it. I said, I don't have faith for this right now. Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the words. I said, okay. Because there's no other place you can find in the Bible how to get faith. You can't pray for it. If you say, Lord, I pray for more faith, you might as well sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Because that's as much prayer as that's going up and hitting the roof and falling right back down because it's not scriptural. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Well, how much do you need to hear? I don't know. How much faith do you need? Are you able? See, a good indicator is when you release your faith to pray or to say, do you 100% believe without a shadow of a doubt that thing is manifesting in my life? If you don't, that's an indicator you need more faith. Because faith in what we learn in this series, faith is not hope. Faith is not wonder. Faith is not it might. Faith is I am sold out. It is done. I don't care what it's saying on the outside. I don't care what my checkbook's saying, what my body's saying. It's done because the Word said it was done. That's what you're going to learn is Bible faith. And so when you go to transaction time and you release it and use, I don't believe a lick of what I just said. I don't believe that's going to come to pass. Or you wake up the next day moping. That's an indicator you didn't have enough faith for your problem. So I realized I didn't have faith for this problem. So I got a hold of a message that Pastor Nancy DeFrame listened to, and it took me. Now, it happened before this, but I wanted to make sure. You know, when a team goes up in football and they score and they take the lead, they don't just stop playing. No, they keep piling on. Why? So the other team can't come back. Well, once I got to the place where I broke this off me through faith, I said, I'm going to keep piling on this thing because I know the devil's going to try to come back. But I listened to that message 365 days straight, over two times a day. I listened to it over 1,000 times. And that didn't count hearing myself say it. We'd be driving along, going somewhere, and I'd say to her, would you like me to preach you a sermon? She'd say, yeah, preach that one again, aren't you? I said, yep. It got to the point where I memorized every bit of accent from Pastor Nancy Dufresne, every bit of stutter. Is it true? Every bit of pause. I could listen to it and be like, I'm just mimicking it. And then the reason is because I heard it. Everybody else would be able to, too. It's not pat myself on the back. I'm just telling you, I needed that. Say, really? Like, it takes that much? I don't care how much it takes. I just want to get to the result. I don't know how much lack of faith you have towards money or your healing or towards having a spouse or towards having children or whatever, your business or a job or a house or a car. I don't know where your faith is. I don't know how much word you need to hear. But you need to hear enough until when you release your faith, until I release my faith that one day and I knew I was free, I knew it was that I was what the word said I was, then I knew, okay, I got this. And then I just kept padding it and padding it and padding it by listening to more word.
Sure.
So do you need faith for faith or do you need faith for your problem? But you need faith.
Amen.
That's the arena we need to be in, and that's what this series is going to be about. We haven't hit it in a little bit. It's time to revisit it and brush up on some things and wipe the cobwebs off and get into faith and get what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, thank you for the healings we had in the beginning. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Father, I want to make sure that people know, Lord, this has not been a drudge for me. This has not been a hard thing in the sense that I regret it or don't wish I did it. I'm just saying that the tests have been hot and heavy, and that faith always was the victory. Faith was always the answer. Father, we praise you this morning. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. You're so good to us. Thank you for the force of faith. Thank you for a blank check from heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm just declaring this right now, that faith, that blank check's going to turn into a deer on my wall. It's going to turn into a bear on my floor. Hallelujah. It's going to turn into things with my children. It's going to turn into things with my family. It's going to turn into things with this church. Oh, Lord, you better just keep sending me the checks. Praise God. Because I got things to fill them out for. Praise your name. Bless you, Father. We love you this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Faith is awesome, but Jesus is better. And what I mean by that is God's given you faith, but he's also gave you Jesus. And you can't have faith without Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, there's people listening by live stream. If you can hear my voice in whatever form this morning, whether it's live stream here or in the archives in the future, and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died. Well, the Bible says if you believe in Jesus, that's not enough. If you believe that he rose again, that's not enough. But if you believe in him and that he died and rose again and that you ask him to come into your life, that's enough. So if you believe in Jesus, you believe he died and rose again, and you want him to come into your life, you want to become a child of God, forgiven of all your sins, on your way to heaven, just simply cry out to him. If there's anybody in here, if you just raise your hand. Anybody wants to receive Jesus at all? Praise God. I don't see any hands for the first time, and I trust that we're all born again. That doesn't surprise me. But if by chance someone listening by live stream isn't, just cry out to him. Just say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love all of you. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.